Today's readings are kind of convicting. One of the things that's particularly convicting about the readings today is they speak about a virtue that's kind of hard to acquire, both in the first reading, the book of Sirach, the wisdom of Ben Sira, and also in the gospel, Jesus is speaking about this virtue of humility. So I thought perhaps it would be worthwhile for us to think a little bit about this virtue, humility. Humility is one of the most important virtues to have as a Christian because in Christian tradition, it's known as the mother of all the virtues. It is the cause of all the other virtues in our life. So it's very important as a Christian for you to have the virtue of humility. If you do not have the virtue of humility, you're not going to go to heaven. And you really want to go to heaven, and so do I. So if you want to go to heaven, you got to be humble. We got to be humble. We got to have the virtue of humility. So what does that mean? What is Jesus trying to reveal to us about being humble as opposed to exalting ourselves, right? But being humble. When we're speaking about virtues in general, right? We tend to think of a virtue as something that you're good at, right? Something you're excellent at, something that you have a skill at. It's a power that fills us out, that makes us perfect, that makes us whole as humans. So what are the things that fill you out? What are the things that make you whole? What are the powers that God has placed in your soul that with great ease, with great dexterity, perhaps, you're able to accomplish? So in my life, it's very easy for me to point out my virtues. Maybe you guys share some of these virtues. One of the things that I'm really good at is breathing. Really good at that. It's one of my virtues, one of my strong suits. I'm also really good at standing about 5'11". Another one of my virtues. I'm pretty much a professional at sleeping. I've done a lot of that in my life. And also had this great tradition in my family of eating several times a day. So if that's one of your family traditions, maybe you're virtuous in that way as well. So, of course, right, to have a virtue isn't simply to have this kind of like things that we naturally do anyways, right? Of course, we all have a certain height, we all breathe, right? We all sleep, we all eat. To be virtuous is to have something that makes us human, uniquely human. Powers that make us uniquely human, and they can be extraordinary things, and they can be ordinary things. And when we say of ourselves, what virtues do I possess, we usually speak about them in that sense, things that I possess, things that I have. So for example, we may very, very truly be able to say of ourselves, one of the things I'm really good at is cooking. It's one of my virtues. Everyone here knows that not everybody is good at cooking, right? Some of us are. It might be a virtue, right? Something that fills you out, something that makes you whole, something that you offer to the world. Some of us might say, one of the things that I'm really good at is exercise. I love to run. Like it's within me. God made me fast. That's one of the virtues that I have in life for whatever reason. Some people may say, well, one of the virtues that I have is the virtue of teaching. One of the things that apparently is true about me, for example, maybe is that whenever I say things, people tend to remember them. And when I teach someone something, they seem to get the hang of it. So maybe teaching is one of my virtues. But humility is an interesting virtue because we can't speak about humility in the same way that we speak about other virtues that we may have. If I were to come up and stand here before you and say, let me tell you, I am really humble. I'm one of the most humble people I know. I'm really good at crucifying my pride. I do it all the time. Done a lot of practice. If you guys want to be humble, all you got to do is you just watch me, and then you do what I do, and then you can be humble too. Right? It's a little bit of an oxymoron. We can't simply say, if we were to say, oh, I'm really humble, that's probably the very wrong thing to say in regards to the virtue of humility. I've been likening it like this. Have you ever had a song in your head that you cannot get rid of? What is the wrong way to get rid of that song out of your head? The last thing that you should do is say this: I won't think about this song. I won't think about this song. I won't think about this song. Right? The very attempt to not think about it is the very thing that keeps it in your brain. So you have to accomplish getting a song out of your head in an indirect means, right? We can't do all things directly. Humility is one of those virtues. We don't exactly get to acquire virtue in a direct way by saying, I will be humble, I will be humble, I will be humble. We have to become humble by the back door, as it were. How does Scripture describe that process for us? Well, one of the images that Jesus uses to describe virtue, for example, is he gives the analogy of the tree and the fruit on the tree. You see, the virtues are often like the roots of the tree. They are the invisible things that cannot be seen. And how do we know in a tree that the roots of the tree are good? The only way that we can know if the roots are good is if we know that the fruit is good. If the roots are healthy, what we will see are the effects of healthy roots, good fruit. And if the roots are bad, what we will see are the effects of unhealthy roots, bad fruits. So for us to grow in the virtue of humility, what does Jesus invite us to do? Well, I suppose my take on this is to become humble means to acquire the virtue in the indirect way by considering the fruits of humility and pursuing the fruits of humility so that by so doing, you may truly become humble. And so I prayed about that. I prayed about that. What are the fruits of humility? If someone's humble, what does it look like in their life? What are the things that you can see that when you see those things, you're like, oh, that's a humble person? And I thought of one. And the reason I thought of one is because I have to keep it really simple. So there are many fruits of humility. But I would suggest, at least in my measured opinion, that one above all is a true fruit of humility. And that is gratitude. Gratitude. That if someone is grateful, if someone is genuinely grateful, if someone has the virtue of gratitude, they're probably a humble person. And if someone is not grateful or not grateful about the right things, that person is probably a proud person. You see, why is that true? Because what is humility? What's humility? Humility is simply this. If you're humble, what that means is that you are able to see reality as it is. That's what humility is. To see reality as it truly is. And specifically, it means to see myself as I truly am. If I'm humble, I see myself truly. I don't see a false version of myself. I see myself as Jesus sees me. That's what it means to be humble. And if one were to actually see themselves as they truly are, what do you think that person will be? Very grateful. If I know myself as I truly am, undoubtedly, I'm going to be extremely grateful. Why? Because if I know myself as I truly am, I know that all that I am is given to me by the grace of God who loves me, who created me and didn't have to do that, but did it because he chose to. And if I see all the things in my life as an effect of God's providence, it just comes forth within me to be thankful, because that will be seeing myself as I truly am. And when I see myself as I truly am, I'm humble. So gratitude, the great fruit of humility. Who is it that was most grateful? Who is it that was most grateful? I was praying about this. Well, I think the most grateful person that probably ever walked the earth, incidentally as well, the most humble person that ever walked the earth, was probably the mother of Jesus. If I were to think like who's the most humble person God ever created, no doubt. Blessed Virgin Mary, easy. She's the most humble person. Why was she the most humble person? Because she saw herself as God saw her, which means she was grateful always. And then as I was praying about that, I was thinking to myself, man, you know, I kind of wonder if I think about Mary and her life, Can I imagine any moment in her life where she was not grateful? I was pondering this. It's like, I've never prayed about that before. Was there ever a moment in Mary's life that she was not grateful? And I'm not inside Mary's head. I do not have the gift to read hearts. But as much as I thought about it, as much as I prayed about it, I could not even think of one instance where Mary would have been ungrateful. I think Mary would have been grateful at every moment of her life. And that's so sublime because Mary didn't just experience good things in life. She experienced a lot of very, very difficult things in life as well, and yet she was grateful. What is the source of that gratitude? Right? What is the source of humility? Where does that really come from? I think the true source of humility is this. What causes humility to happen in you, in your soul, is the fact that God remembers his mercy. That's why any of us is humble, because God has remembered his mercy. God has done a thing, and then humility is the result in us. Because when we know that God's work is to remember his promise of mercy, we're grateful for that. You see, every moment of Mary's life, what was she sure of? That God was doing something merciful. Whether the thing that was occurring in her life was happy or sad or frustrating or nerve-wracking or what seemed to be the worst curse that you could ever go through as a mother, even in that moment, do you think Mary was grateful? I do. I think she was grateful. And she did not like one bit what was going on. And even in that worst of moments, why was she able to be grateful to God? Because she knew that God was remembering a promise, and that it was a promise of mercy. And so she was able to be grateful to God even in the midst of her strife, right? Even in the midst of her most difficult sadness, her darkest moment. And that's why she's the most humble. Because she could see most truly what God was doing. And so if you and I want to be humble disciples, if we want to grow in humility, we're not going to do it by brute force. But what we may be able to do is get it by the back door by trying to emulate the same gratitude that our Blessed Mother has. To be grateful. And there's actually a really beautiful way in which we can see what that looked like in her life. Because believe it or not, Mary prayed a prayer in Scripture. If you want to know how a humble person prays, read what it says in Luke's gospel about what Mary spoke when she prayed. Because this is the prayer of a grateful person. This is a prayer of someone who has humility. If someone has humility, what are the words that come forth? This is what I'll end with. The words of a humble handmaiden. When she prayed, she said this, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy. The promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever."